Well, I wonder if we could turn tonight in God's precious word to the book of Leviticus again, to the chapter 5 of the book of Leviticus. And tonight we're going to read from the 14th verse of Leviticus chapter 5, and then going down a little way into chapter 6, because there we read something of the trespass offering that we want to look at tonight. So, Leviticus chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. The priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he hath erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a trespass offering, it is a trespass offering, he has certainly trespassed against the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbour in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbour, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerned it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he hath took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that he which was delivered to him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespass therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, and shall put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Now, in his details, the trespass offering is very like the sin offering in many ways. Indeed, in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 7, God says the trespass offering is like the sin offering. There's one law for them. Also, if you notice in chapter 5 and verse 6, the words trespass offering and sin offering are used interchangeably. So there is a likeness between the sin offering and the trespass offering. And also, they both were for inadvertent sin. If you look at chapter 5 and verses 14 to 15, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord. So this is to do with sins of ignorance or inadvertent sins as well, like the sin offering. So there are many ways in which these two offerings are very much alike. And this is the thing that makes the study of these offerings a little bit complicated, because they're all pointing to Christ, so there is a bit of overlap in their meaning. But the thought here in the trespass offering is the emphasis on the deeds. Now, in the sin offering, we could say that the emphasis is on the person who sinned, whereas in the trespass offering, the emphasis is on the deed, the trespasses that are done. Now, normally we think of trespass today as in our culture as going into somebody else's property or land without permission. You've seen the signs, no trespassing, trespassers will be prosecuted, or beware of the dogs, or surveillance cameras are in use, or something along that lines, and it just means don't come on my property. Now the truth is that we're all guilty of trespass against God. We have trespassed into areas of action and doing that we should not have done. But this sin, this deals with two things. Now the sin offering deals with the sin, with the person, with the sin that has been done, the sinner. This deals with the trespass, with the actual deeds. Now, the Hebrew word that is translated trespass there is the Hebrew word asham. And it is used in three different senses in the Old Testament. It is referring to the guilt that is incurred by a wrongdoing. It also speaks about the penalty required to compensate for the offence, or the sacrifice that must be offered to atone for guilt. But in the trespass offering, we're dealing more with the deeds, the trespasses, than really with the person, the actual heart of the sin itself. But there are a few things about the trespass offering I think that we should note, unusual things, before we go on. The first thing, that this is the most infrequent offering that you have in the Bible. It's not used as frequently as the others. The other thing is that it requires a ram, not a lamb or an ox or a bull, not like the other offerings where there is a kind of a choice as to what you bring. No, this here is a ram. And the other thing about it is that it requires retribution or payment or compensation. There's a cost to the offence and it needs to be returned, and a fifth is added. So these are the things that we need to look at and we need to consider as we look at the trespass offering. And there are just a number of things very simply that I want you to see. The first thing that I want you to see are the differences of the trespass offering. Now, we've already explained that there are many things of similarity between the sin offering in particular and the trespass offering. They bring the same kind of sacrifice, the shedding of the blood. They're for sins of ignorance. And if you look at verses 15 and 16, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance. But also, I want you to notice that there are differences. Now, there is this thing whereby, as we said, the trespass offering is for sins of ignorance and for inadvertent sin. But I want you to see that it is obviously wider than that. You'll notice, as we read chapter 6, that it speaks of restoring that which was taken violently away from somebody else. Now, that's not inadvertent. Again, in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 20 to 22, you'll read that if a man had sex with another man's slave who was betrothed to another, he had then to bring a trespass offering. But what I want you to see, that kind of sin is not accidental or inadvertent. Again, you read in Ezra, the book of Ezra, that when the people were guilty of mixed marriages, in other words, they had married heathen women or been involved in marriage with a heathen, that after they had divorced the foreign wives, they were to bring trespass offerings. Now again, this is not inadvertent sin. Even the Philistines, you remember, when they had taken the Ark of God and the plague was upon them and they brought the Ark back. You remember how they were smitten by the tumours or the emeralds that the Bible talks about. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 3, it said, "And they said, if ye send away the Ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering, then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." So even the Philistines, now they didn't send a blood offering. They brought five golden emeralds, the golden and five golden mice, but they felt that this was to be a trespass offering. And while these are heathen people, but I want you to see that they felt that this needed to be a trespass offering, but it wasn't inadvertent sin. This was done very deliberately. So there's a difference here, and we can rejoice in the difference because we are conscious of the fact that our sin goes a lot wider than the things that we do through ignorance. Now, many times, in fact, we take the things that we do by ignorance and we don't even count them as sin at all. We play them down in our minds. But in each of these Levitical sacrifices, and all of them together, you have the anatomy of sin and its seriousness. And we can see the assertion, really, in all of these offerings, as you look at them, that we're sinners in every conceivable way. We're sinners through and through. We are systematically corrupted by sin. And the Bible teaches us that we sin in many ways. There are sins of omission. There are sins of commission. But the sins of omission are as important as the sins of commission. We think about the things that we do wrong, but we hardly consider the things, the good things that we don't do, that we should do. And that's what we see here in this portion of Scripture. There are the wide variety of sins. But then there's a second difference, and that is that the trespass offering, for the first time, raises the question of compensation. It's often called the reparation offering because in it the offer brings a reparation or a compensation. Now, this is a characteristic of the trespass offering. The offer was to restore that which he has sinned, and then he was to add a fifth part thereto. So, as we say, the trespass offering, contrary to the sin offering, looks at the effects of the sin rather than the sin itself. And in the effects, dealing with the effects, then you have to add the compensation, the reparation for that which you have done. So this brings a new dimension to these offering. And I think that we can see that here, that they were to make amends. And we are to make amends. Now we're saying in all these offerings, they present different aspects of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God that by his work on the cross, he not only deals with our sins, but the effects of the sins. And he's not only forgiven us, but he, as it were, makes the reparation. He adds the bit. Perhaps the best way that is described or indicated is in the text in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, where Paul says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Thank God that by his death on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ has given abundant grace. Not only has he made expiation and propitiation for sin, but there is grace and more than grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. And thank God today that we can depend upon what Christ has done, because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But the second thing that I want you to see today is the direction of the trespass offering. I want you to notice that the emphasis here is not so much as an offering towards God here, although it was towards God, but the emphasis is more an offering, it is more calculated, the trespass offering, towards man, towards the effects of the sin, upon God and upon our neighbours as well. Look at chapter 6, and if you look at verses 1 and 2, it says in chapter 6, look at verses 1 and 2, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord," so it is against the Lord, "but then it says, and lie unto his neighbour in that which was delivered him, to keep, or in his fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbour." It's against the Lord, but here also it's against the neighbour. But I want you to see that there are a number of categories that are set down. There are three sections here in describing the trespass offering. Now, the first category, or the first sin that is identified, is if you look in verse 15 of chapter 5. It says, "If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering." So the first category here, or the first group of sins, is the offences in relation to the holy thing. Now, whatever did Moses mean by the holy things? It's a term that perhaps is a little bit puzzling. Up until now, I do not think that in all of Levitical law there has been any expression like this. And I would perhaps think that when Moses first talked about the trespass and the holy things, people might have scratched their head and said, "But Moses, what do you mean by holy things?" Well, if we look in the context, and if we look in what the Word of God has to say, we will find that the holy things are the things that are set aside in the sanctuary, in the temple, sacred objects, sacred persons, sacred property in the general sense, things that are sanctified to God, the food that the priest receives, or their houses, or their prophets, or property rather, the priests themselves, the tithes that were brought, the due offerings. Now, this was an offering in violation of any of those things. And one of the things, I'm going to illustrate it by thinking about the tithe here, because this is one of these holy things. And we could put it like this. Take this thought. Take this illustration. You think of somebody who unintentionally makes a mistake in the calculation of the tithe that they're to bring. They miscalculate their net profit. They miscalculate what is a tenth of their income. Now, they don't do it intentionally, they do it unintentionally. But remember that in the Old Testament, the tithe was expected. You weren't given until you'd given your tithe. The tithe was mandatory. So they were to give 10%, but say somebody miscalculated it, miscalculated their 10%. I remember doing this a few years ago. I discovered that what I was giving was not the tenth. It was a little bit short, so I had to make it up. Now, that was a sin. That is a sin. And this sin, they didn't know, but they were committing a sin in falsely estimating the tithe. Now, when they had found that sin out, and remember that this is not only affecting the Lord, it's affecting the temple, it's affecting the work of the temple, it's affecting the priests who would live of the tithes that were brought in. It was not only a sin against the Lord, but it was a sin against others as well. But when they discovered that, they brought a trespass offering. Another case of the holy things might be failures in the Sabbath, breaking the Sabbath. Maybe you're not aware of it, But we think of what we might call our little failures in our Lord's Day worship. For example, sometimes in our worship we're absent-minded. Our mind drifts away to other things. We're not hearing the Word of God. We're not singing the hymns with our hearts. We're not bringing the offering as a thanksgiving to God. We're a little bit half-hearted, distracted, double-minded. Now that's a breach in the holy things. It also included breaking vows. So suppose you made a vow in the Old Testament, the rules concerning a vow, something that actually touches you and the Lord. And again, if you broke a vow, you had to bring a trespass offering. And what did you do? Well, look at verse 15 again. What did you do? How did you bring a trespass offering? It says, if a son or if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. Now the ram, of course, a male sheep, was the offering. In this case, you'll notice that only a ram would do. With the other offerings, other types of animals could be offered. But this was to be a ram without defect. And it was to be killed, the blood was to be shed. And of course, again, it is pointing us forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 16, the priest shall make an atonement for him with a ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. Now, when we talk about expiation, about satisfaction, there's an obvious reference there to the Lord Jesus Christ as the penal sacrifice or substitute for our sins. And then there's this little extra that was to be added. Look at verse 16. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done. So not only was there expiation, but there was to be restitution. When we fail in these trespasses, in the tithe, not only do we bring back what we have not given, but we add the fifth here, in the Old Testament anyway. The fifth was to be brought, there's to be compensation. And these are offences in the holy things. But then there's a second category of these sins. Look at verses 17 to 18 of Leviticus chapter 5. It says here, and if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandment of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Now, this second offence is a little bit more vague in terms, and it's a puzzling few verses, but it says that these are done against the commandments of the law. These are trespasses against the law, moral law. And I'm going to speculate a little bit, but seeing the third category deals with sins against the neighbor, I'm going to speculate that this is sins against the law, against the first table, which are sins against the law, Lord himself, and the holy law of God. We're robbing God of the honour that is due. And that affects the Lord, but it affects others as well, because when they see our carelessness of times, it affects others. If our practice is not what it should be, then we don't have the zeal that we should, and it affects others. Now, the point is that the person doesn't know this is, and nevertheless feels guilty. Look at verses 17 to 19. Look at the opening statement there. Now, if a person sins and does any of these things which the Lord's commanded not to be done, though he was unaware, still he is guilty and shall bear his punishment. So, we talked about this the last time. Even though we're unaware, doesn't mean that we're not guilty. If our conscience doesn't speak, it doesn't mean that we're not guilty. The third category of sin, or really sins, is in chapter 6 and verses 2 to 3. Now, these are trespasses against our neighbour. Look at what it says in verse 2. It says, if a soul sin, commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbour in that which was delivered him, to keep or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbour, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerned, or sweareth falsely in any of all these that a man doeth sinning therein. Now, you notice those things, they're not all inadvertent, lying against your neighbour. You're going to do that deliberately. But we have trespasses then against the person, against our neighbour. This is the second table of the law. We're to worship the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and we're to love our neighbour as ourself. Now, these are offences against our neighbour, so that we're to bring the trespass offering when we offend our neighbour. So we notice something here about the direction of the trespass offering. But then I want you to notice something else. I want you to consider with me the dealings of the trespass offering. I want you to consider here what this primarily deals with. It deals with guilt. Now, it was guilt that led Martin Luther to the gospel. Before his conversion, he was plagued by guilt. And you remember, because of his guilt, you remember the story how that he tried to rid himself of it by his confession. And he said of himself, "I was a good monk, and I kept the rule of my order so strictly that I may say that if ever a monk got to heaven by his monkery, it was I." Now, Luther was so meticulous in his confessions that he was driving his father confessor to distraction. Luther was not satisfied with a brief recitation of his sins. He wanted to make sure that there was no sin that was left unconfessed. He would spend 6 hours confessing the sins that he had committed the day before. And the superiors of the monastery began to wonder, was he a shirker, that he was rather preferring to spend time in the confessional rather than the study or in the duties that he had to do. And his mentor Stoppist really finally grew angry, and he said, "Look here," he said, "if you expect Christ to forgive you, come and bring something that you need to have forgiven. Patricide, blasphemy, adultery. Man, God is not angry with you," he said. "You're angry with God. Don't you know that God commands you to hope?" This is what he said to Martin Luther. And Luther had to discover that he wasn't going to get forgiveness through the penances that he had to do, or through his monkery, but it was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we find in the trespass offering. It deals with our guilt, and it deals with it through the cross, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may be today, those who are saved, you carry guilt. And that's a bad thing, because in Christ you're forgiven. Now, you should not insist on bearing that sin that you have confessed to him, that you have brought to him. We read in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." And that means that when we stand before God, he does not condemn us. We're not guilty. You think of the hymn that says, or the little song, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin." And I'm glad today that there is provision for my guilt and provision for the sins and the trespasses that I have committed. You think of the hymn again, "No guilt of in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand." And thank God today that we stand in the power of Christ. But one more thing that I want you to notice, and that's the delight of the trespass offering. Look at the words again in verse 7. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. Anything that he hath done. Thank God, there's not a trespass that we commit against the Lord that he cannot forgive us. Thank God we can put our heart, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to him alone for salvation. We look to him for his blessing. He forgives. You know, years ago, at the close of a meeting in Chicago where Gypsy Rodney Smith was the preacher, there was a strong man who was weeping up the aisle at the close of the evangelist address, and he was sobbing because of his sin and his shame. And Gypsy Smith went to him, and he wanted to help him, and he said, "Oh, sir," your man said to him, "Oh, sir, my sin is too great ever to be forgiven." And you know, quick as a flash, the preacher said, "But his grace is greater than all of your sin." You think of Dr. Towner's great and beloved hymn, "Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of our sin." And the melody of the verses was given to him, and he jotted them down, and he said, the man went away, and he spoke about, in the first stanza it says, "Marvellous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds all our sin and guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt." And I'm glad today that there's grace greater than all of our sins, and it is provided for us at the cross of Calvary. May God write his word upon our hearts and bless it to us. Let's unite together in prayer. Let's cry unto God for his mercy. And do remember those that need our prayers. Florence has a work colleague, and her husband has got a liver transplant today, and we need to pray for them. Pray for those that need our prayers. Pray for the meetings. We thank God for God's speaking voice. We rejoice in the youth meeting that took place there. And we pray that God will bless the going forth of his word. Many have contacted us to say how they enjoyed the meeting, and we pray that it might result in the salvation of precious, never dying souls. But do pray. Let's join together and seek the face of the Lord. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy mercy today. We rejoice in God's goodness. We thank thee for the one who has given grace greater than all of our sin. And we thank thee that grace is available to all. And we pray that men and women might find grace and mercy in our God. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.